Hi guys, and welcome back once again to Lily White Rose, the stars of tomorrow today. John Wenham here, hope you're all doing well, and thanks again for tuning in and downloading another episode of the show. My throat is still in a bit of pain from all the singing on Sunday. How good was that? Certainly the best atmosphere I've heard in the new stadium, and as good as some of those magical nights we had at the old White Hart Lane. The place was just rocking from minute one in the team's support behind Nuno, and I was really proud to be a Tottenham fan again. I know it's only one game, but I already feel so much more connected to Tottenham than at any time over the last 2 years. Maybe the Nuno effect, being back in a full stadium, seeing so many mates around the ground, Tanganga and Skip playing, and the whole team just giving 100% from minute one. I thought both Tanganga and Skip were outstanding, and I was so proud to see two of our own put in performances like that against the champions and Champions League finalists. Jaff was rightly the man of the match on the day, having pocketed effectively both Raheem Sterling and Jack Grealish. He ended up with the following stats: 49 touches, he won 18 out of his 20 passes, 11 duels, 2 clearances, 5 times he gained possession directly from an opposition player, he blocked one shot, and this was his 14th Premier League start, now played in 2 home wins with clean sheets against Manchester City. It was a very, very impressive afternoon from Jaffet. I also hope this puts to bed any ridiculous rumours of a loan move to Galatasaray and also leads to us halting reported interest in Takehiro Tomiyasu. I just don't see the need of us bringing in the Japanese right-sided defender now. I would just put all faith in Jaffet to continue to grow and mould into the top right-back or top centre-half we all think he can become. When Jaffet went off on the far side of the pitch, there was a beautiful few minutes of celebration for him as he walked past the Stoush stand to loud cheers of Jaffet Tanganga, he's one of our own. And you know, he is one of our own, and we have him right here. He's a young, homegrown lad, born and raised in Hackney, who's never let us down in any performances, and gets more valuable with each appearance he makes and more experienced. I do hope that Jaffet is our first choice right back for the season ahead, and can seemingly, you know, cement that position moving forward, because it would seem crazy for us to go out and invest in someone else to halt his progress or block his progress in any way. Well, we've got somebody waiting right here who does count as homegrown, who does count as club-affiliated trained, who is a Tottenham fan. He was born and raised in Hackney. He's one of our own. Let's build around these kind of players, you know? Oliver Skip, as predicted, has slotted in seamlessly as a first-choice central midfielder for us. Yes, he had a nervous first 15 minutes or so, giving the ball away and then bringing down a City player right on the edge of the box, leading to a dangerous free kick. But he then settled into the game and grew and grew and grew in confidence as it went on, making his authority known around the pitch. And let's not forget, he was up against PFA Player of the Year, Ilkay Gundogan, and Fernandinho. You know, that they are two hugely experienced players on the biggest stage, and he slotted it absolutely seamlessly. And this is a performance that will have obviously delighted Nuno. Told Nuno that we have a really strong basis for the first team squad with Skippy in next to Højbjerg, who was also outstanding on the day and showed his level of gamesmanship and maturity to see out that win for us. Dane Scarlett was also in the squad, but he was an unused substitute on that occasion. And those were the three academy players sort of involved in the first team lineup for the Manchester City game. The following academy players have been handed first team squad numbers for the season ahead. We've got Cameron Carter-Vickers in with the number 38. I still expect him to permanently depart the club. I think one to keep an eye on there is potentially Bournemouth. I hear that Bournemouth have sold a Dutch left winger, Dan Juma, today to Villarreal for around €20 million. So Bournemouth have suddenly got a large amount of disposable income, and maybe that €5 million price tag for Cam Carter-Vickers suddenly becomes more attractive to them. So let's wait and see on that one. Brandon Austin has been handed the number 40 shirt following his return from loan in the MLS at Orlando City. Harvey White has taken the number 42, Niall John has taken the number 43, Dane Scarlett has taken the number 44, and Alfie Devine has taken the number 45. Malachi Fagan-Walcott is 46, and Maskin Paskotski takes number 48. Last night we heard the news that TJ Ayoma has joined League One Lincoln Town on a permanent basis. TJ featured 53 times in all competitions for Lincoln last year. Obviously they were always interested in him. And reading the reports of their manager this morning, he said there was a lot of competition for him. I had heard last week that Portsmouth were strongly in for him as well. So I imagine a decent fee has been paid for TJ on this occasion, with two clubs obviously battling for his services. He was presented to the crowds at Lincoln's stadium last night before their game, and the fans seemed delighted with him. I even saw one Lincoln fan suggesting that it was possibly their best permanent signing ever. So they're obviously very impressed with TJ. He's a young player. They will have sold it to him that if he can come in there, do as well as he did last year, they'll be expected to be pushing into the Championship next year. So, yeah, good luck to TJ. I mean, on our right-hand side of the defence from the academy, we have obviously Marcel Lavinia, who joined last summer from Chelsea. We have Dermi Lasala, who hasn't featured yet in pre-season, but that is owing to an injury and surgery he undertook at the back end of last season. He's obviously very highly regarded by the club and was included as the Guardians' one to watch in 2018 as the player from our academy. Previous players suggested in that one to watch list have been the likes of Harvey White and Oliver Skip, so it is something to regard highly. And then obviously we have Callum Cisse, who featured heavily for the first team this pre-season. So the club obviously felt at the right time at 21 for TJ to move on. I probably thought he may have got a championship loan or a championship move, but he obviously feels comfortable at Lincoln. As I said, they got very close to promotion last year to the championship, missing out only via the playoff final. So they'll go around this time. And TJ obviously did have a chance to impress with Spurs under Nuno this season, as he featured as a second half substitute and actually captained the first team against Leyton Orient in Nuno's first pre-season friendly. So, you know, obviously the club have taken a look at that in consideration with the number of right backs we have coming through and made a decision that it was fine to allow TJ to move on to Lincoln on a permanent basis. So best of luck to TJ and good luck for the future. Our under-18s in their final pre-season friendly beat Coventry 4-0 at Hotspur Way, with captain for the day Dante Casanova grabbing a brace, Ronaldo Taraj and Callon Haysman with the other goals. In our lineup, there was a bit of interest as England under-15 and New Spurs under-16 player Samuel Amayor started in that win. So maybe this year we'll start to see him play out with the under-18s already. Normally when that's the case, you get an indication that those players have already been offered a long-term scholarship by Spurs, and we may see him feature heavily and certainly be one of the intake for next year's. The under-18s kicked off the season with a difficult fixture away to reigning champions Fulham. We lost this game 5-0 last season and seemed to lose at Fulham's Motspur Park every single season. Unfortunately, it was no different this time out, as we lost our opening fixture by 4-2. We lined up for this first game of the season as follows, with Adam Hayton in goal, Max McKnight at right back, Josiah Linton at left back, Alfie Dorrington captained us at centre half, Jordan Hackett was also in there at centre half. We had a midfield of Dante Casanova, Rio Kyramaten, Owen Riley, Ronaldo Taraj, Jamie Donnelly and Williams leading the attack. We were trailing 2-0 and then 3-1, but we did produce some bright spells of play and deservedly got the scoreline back to 3-2 when Jaden Williams swept home a low cross from the influential Jamie Donnelly, who had earlier converted a penalty to get our first goal of the game. We were then fully in the ascendancy and we were pushing for an equaliser at 3-2, but a late strike from Fulham's Michael Olagigbe, his second of the game, put the result beyond doubt for Fulham. New under-18s coach Stuart Lewis named a new-look team at Motspur Park, but it was Fulham who forged ahead inside 9 minutes as Oliver Sanderson curled into the top corner from 18 yards. Goalkeeper Adam Hayton did manage to get fingertips to the ball, but just couldn't quite keep it out. Ronaldo Taraji's low strike was tipped around the post by Cottagers keeper Alex Borto, who then blocked a 1-1 from Rio Kyramaten following a fine reverse pass from Jamie Donnelly again. But it was 2-0 on 33 minutes when Delano McCoy cut back for Imani Ladekwok to fire home despite Donnelly's best efforts to slide in and block the shot. Centre-back Alfie Dorrington did just enough to poke the ball away from Ladekwok as he went through on goal just before the break, but we came out on the top on the front foot after the restart and pulled one back from the spot on 53 minutes, Jamie Donnelly slotting home his first of the season after the lively Williams was found in the area. Fulham quickly restored their two-goal cushion as Ladekwok cutting it back for Olagigbe to crash a first-time shot into the top corner on 56 minutes, but we replied just 3 minutes later when Jamie Donnelly again slid the ball across the six-yard box from the left and the arriving Williams rammed it home. We had the wind in our sails at this point and looked likely to get something out of the game as we endured a high amount of pressure on the Fulham goal, but when Olagigbe fired in from tight angle with just 6 minutes remaining to make the score 4-2, there was unfortunately no way back for us, although Jamie Donnelly did have a near miss in stoppage time when his volley into the ground went just over the bar from a Josiah Linton cross. Reflecting on the first league match in charge, under-18s coach Stuart Lewis said, "I thought we dominated in large parts of the game, scored a well-worked goal, but it's obviously disappointing defensively to concede four times. Both boxes are so important when you're playing football. It's been a good learning curve, you know, and experience from this fixture. The majority of the first years were playing their first under-18s game, so they've been able to see the next level, the pace of the game and the demands of the level increases." He thought that Jaden Williams in particular was outstanding. He led the line, was a real thorn in Fulham's side throughout and deserved his goal. Overall, I was disappointed with the scoreline because there was some really good play on show. Now, just give my opinion on this a little bit. I was really impressed to see Williams do so well. I thought this year it would be a lot about Jamie Donnelly, and obviously in that match report you've heard how influential he was on the game. But if we've got Williams as well chipping in with the goals, I think that could be hugely promising for our under-18s moving forward and give us a really focal front two, and possibly the best front two in the under-18s South Division. Moving on to our under-23s, they opened their season with a highly entertaining 2-2 draw of Chelsea at Stevenage's Lamex Stadium. It was great to see Danny Rose in attendance, who's obviously left the club this summer to join Watford on a permanent basis. He came down to support the lads, having spent a lot of last season working closely with him, and I know he's got a very good relationship with a lot of the young players at the club, so that was great to see. Dane Scarlett was also in attendance watching the lads. Our players, though, were visibly frustrated at full-time, despite coming back from 2-0 down, as they had battered Chelsea for the 90 minutes. Dylan Markandy, Harvey White and Marcel Lavinia were all outstanding on the night, and it does feel like had we started the game with any out-and-out central forward as a focal point, any of, you know, Dane Scarlett, Jamie Donnelly, and obviously those that have gone out on loan, Keon Etete and Troy Parrott, we would have won this game comfortably. The continued retaining of Jeremy McKindy, who is a forward, seems all the stranger when he's not featured in any of our pre-season squads thus far, and the side is crying out for a forward. He is a forward, he just doesn't ever seem to be selected. I think he's only made a handful of games for Spurs in the 4 years he's had a scholarship with us and then a permanent deal. So I just wonder what he's actually being kept on for and if he's actually at the level required to play weekly for the under-23s, because he obviously wasn't selected for the under-18s either. We lined up for the fixture of Chelsea with Josh Oluwayemi, obviously he was recently called up to the full Nigeria squad in goal, Marcel Lavinia at right back, Ryan Sessegnon came in at left back. This was a great chance for Ryan to get some vital minutes that he can take on to the first team in his legs. So it was great for him. He only did the first 45 minutes, but it was good to see him named in the side. Brooklyn's Lyons Foster played at centre-half and captained the side, and he was partnered by Malachi Fagan-Walcott. The midfield was made up of Harvey White, Matthew Craig, Alfie Devine, Romain Mandale, Janiel Bennett and Dylan Markandy. And it was Janiel Bennett and Dylan Markandy who were effectively operating in a false nine position, as we didn't play with an out-and-out forward. And our goals on the night were scored by Dylan Markandy and Janiel Bennett. And we did claw back that 2-0 deficit, as I said, but it was particularly frustrating because we also had a penalty late on in the game. And you would back Harvey White to score that. He is, in my opinion, the best set-piece taker at the club. And I was very surprised that he didn't score, but the Chelsea keeper got down and made a fine save. So it ended up being a 2-2 draw on the opening night against Chelsea. Chelsea did get into that two-goal lead with Harvey Vale twice scoring against the run of play. Their first one was also from the spot after Josh Oluwayemi brought down a Chelsea player. And we controlled large parts of the game and had Chelsea penned in during their half, especially in the closing stages. We sought that winner. But as I said, White was denied from 12 yards by the Chelsea goalkeeper Lucas Bergstrom, who had tripped the lively Dylan Markandy in the box. And then Chelsea's very impressive Dutch centre-half Javier Mumbabaya cleared White's follow-up off the line. With the game held at Stevenage, there was a welcome return to fans for academy football for the first time since March 2020. There was around 766 people in attendance, and it was a very fine performance, and one that, you know, people who go down and watch these games with their kids would have been impressed to see, and encourage children to get more involved in the games. Alfie Devine's early header from Bennett's left-wing cross was turned over the bar by Bergstrom, with Devine arrowing a shot off target on the second phase from the resulting corner. But for all our bright play in the opening stages, it was Chelsea who snatched the upper hand after 19 minutes with a clearance in our box, ricocheted off Dion Ranking, and goalkeeper Josh Oluwayemi adjudged to have brought down Harvey Vale. Vale dusted himself off to convert the penalty, but we continued on the front foot, and Devine's shot after a storming run blocked went behind for a corner, and Janiel Bennett then testing Bergstrom from the edge of the box. Malachi Fagan-Walcott went up from the corner and went up close twice with two excellent deliveries from Harvey White. But Chelsea struck again out of nowhere when Vale slotted home from the left angle inside the box following a lapse of concentration at the back 2 minutes before half time. We thought we pulled a goal back in first half added time when White's low free kick was kept out by Bergstrom and Brooklyn Lyons Foster tucked home the rebound, but an offside flag denied the skipper. We went in 2-2 at the break. It was 2-1 within 3 minutes of the restart, though, as Marcel Lavinia, who'd switched to left-back after Sessegnon's planned withdrawal at the break, slid in Markandy, and he clipped home from a tight angle on the left, adding to his 5-goal pre-season haul. I must say that Markandy's screaming out for a loan now. I understand there were a lot of scouts watching the game. He's ready to go straight into League One, Dylan Markandy. He has really bulked up over the summer. He looks really powerful, really direct, and a real live wire. And he just keeps scoring, getting in vital positions. He's screaming for a loan. I hope that a League One club does come in for him this week. Substitute Iago Santiago later produced another stop from Bergstrom. Although we had a brief scare at the other end when George McEachran's free kick sailed over the post, but flashed wide of everybody. Mark Handy continued to impress when he moved to the right side, and it was he who was brought down by Bergstrom to give us a chance of actually what would have been the winner, but White saw his spot kicked saved. Under-23 head coach Wayne Burnett praised the players for their performance throughout the game and felt we were unlucky to only come away with a point. I don't think the first half performance warranted us being 2-0 behind. We created some good chances, but we gave two goals away that were probably avoidable, said Burnett. We showed real character to come back through, and we could probably have won it with a penalty near the end. Overall, I'm really pleased with how the players responded and how they applied themselves. We didn't play badly in the first half. I think we were a bit unfortunate to concede the two goals, but sometimes the score doesn't always reflect the performance. So yeah, the under-23s dust themselves off from this draw at Chelsea, and they'll look to go again next week. Now moving on to our players on loan and the loan update. Jamie Bowden has joined League 2 Oldham Athletic on loan and is immediately in their first team. Jamie had made the first two appearances so far in their first two games of the season, but did miss out on the last two games owing to COVID protocols. I presume Jamie has contracted COVID, so he'll be out of the next couple of squads, but the fact that he was straight in the starting lineup indicates to me that this is going to be a good loan and hopefully a chance for him to play 40 plus games of senior men's football. Oldham's head coach has been talking about Jamie and said, "Since he came on Monday morning, he's trained with us as a group, and we can see why he's come with such great references and why the club rate him so highly. He's extremely confident and comfortable on the ball. I'm sure he'll make the most of this opportunity. It's a brand new challenge, and he knows how important he could potentially be for this team. He just needs to keep working hard and put into practice all the experience he already has at such a very young age." We exclusively revealed on At Lily White Rose on the 11th of August that Alfie Whiteman could head to Swedish top flight side Degerfors IF on loan, and just a day later his loan move was then subsequently confirmed. This was a move that made absolute sense, with Alfie having never started a competitive match before or headed out on loan, with Brandon Austin having now had two loans and just returning from the MLS with his loan spell at Orlando City. He will slot in to be third choice this season behind Lloris and Golini, with Alfie now heading out on a vital first loan. I understand people saying, oh, Alfie should have been kept around as third choice after he impressed in pre-season, especially the game at Milton Keynes, but he needs to play, you know, a solid season of 30-40 games, I've just said, for Jamie Bowden. So hopefully Alfie can get that on this loan and really come back challenging for a spot of Spurs next summer. Keon Etete has hit the ground running during his loan at Northampton. The striker, making his debut for the new club, scored twice in the second half as the Cobblers came back from a goal down to win 2-1 away to Coventry City in the first round of the Carabao Cup. Keon's first goal was a truly lovely strike. I put it out on my Twitter feed at Lily White Rose, so please do go and check that out. It was a brilliant goal. He had been an unused substitute in Northampton's League 2 curtain raiser against Port Vale on Saturday, which they won 1-0, but I expect that Keon will now be in the side all the time moving forward after his two goals at Coventry. And I note that he did start in their 1-0 away win to Colchester on Saturday before being subbed off on 56 minutes. This has been a brilliant start to Keon's first senior loan spell, and hopefully, like I mentioned with Alfie Whiteman and Jamie Bowden, hopefully he can get a lot of games under his belt this year and come back to Spurs, you know, a different player, confident player next summer, like we've seen Oliver Skipp do this year. Troy Parrott has now made three appearances for MK Dons. He grabbed his first goal for the club against Sunderland on Saturday. It was a brilliant goal finished from inside the box. He then carried on his goal scoring to make it 2-2 with a goal last night for MK Dons, with a lovely finish from just outside the box. As I said previously, if Troy did score early during this loan spell, I'd expect him to go on a really strong goal scoring run. And now, you know, people can say it's only two games, but I just felt like on his other loans, Ipswich last year and Millwall, had he scored early, the goals would have come. He really is a confidence player. Now that he's got these early two goals, I expect him to go on, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the League One Golden Boot this year. I think he is that good, Troy. You know, I just think he needs the opportunity and the confidence to thrive. He will score goals. He's a natural goal scorer. He's so confident in his own ability, and I expect he will go on and, you know, do very, very well this year. So I'm delighted about how this loan's going for Troy and all our loans. Now moving on to youth international call-ups. Five of our new Academy Year 1 intake have been called up to England under-17 training camps in the last few weeks, which is a hugely impressive number. Defender Alfie Dorrington, midfielders Rio Cairo-Mayton, Billy Heaps, Tommy Bloxham and forward Jamie Donnelly. I think this group will be one of the most promising we've brought through the Academy in several years, based on the number of England youth internationals we already have in the group. And there's others in that group that I haven't even mentioned, the likes of Williams, who started pre-season strongly, Brandon Brian Way, who's been called up to other England groups, and obviously Luca Gunter, who wasn't in the groups. We effectively could have 7 or 8 England internationals in this group. I mean, that's just a phenomenal return. So yeah, that's something really, really exciting to look forward to, and over the coming years, and for our chances for the FA Youth Cup as well. Now time for some of your listener questions. Tim Odgin asks, there's a lot of noise around Parrott and Scarlett, but how good is Keon Atete in comparison? And also, if Parrott's loan move fails, is he then done? I mean, how much time do we give him? Now, Tim, Atete is very good. I wouldn't put him at the same level as Troy Parrott and Dane Scarlett. He's a different type of striker. He's more of a big, old-fashioned centre-forward. But the fact that he's hit the ground running at Northampton does give me huge confidence for Keon. And I think that's one we'll certainly evaluate as the season goes on. But I would say his natural talents, I would put Troy Parrott and Dane Scarlett, you know, significantly in front of Keon at this stage. And then moving on to the second part of Tim's question, if Parrott's loan move fails, is he then done? Well, Troy Parrott has a contract with Tottenham until 2023. He is only 19 years of age. This is what people forget. People are very quick, you know, some people in Tottenham's support were very quick, maybe because of the emergence of Dane Scarlett, to sort of write off Troy, and I think that's wrong. Why can't we have two talents coming through at the same time? Why does one have to be rated higher than the other? Why can't we back both? I think this loan and the fact that Troy's already scoring will really reevaluate people's opinions on Troy, and I think he'll have a very, very good season and then probably head out on a loan to a championship club next season, or if he does particularly well, wins the League One Golden Boot, for example, maybe a lower end Premier League club. I think Troy's a fantastic talent. The club will give him as long as he needs. You know, he's got that contract, as I said, till 2023. So the club will give him plenty of time. And I would give him plenty of time. You know, he's an emerging talent. He's already got 2 senior goals for the Republic of Ireland. And he's just 19, guys. Let's give Troy some time. Spurs Youth Hub KR asks, any buyback or sell-on clause on Sirkin? Yes, as we revealed last week on at Lily White Rose, Spurs have a £6 million buyback clause on Dennis Sirkin, which I'm told is valid until the 30th of June 2024. I understand Spurs also have a sell-on clause on profit should they not take up the buyback clause and, for example, somebody else were to buy Dennis. Friend of the show at Tottenham Feed asks, I know Jack Clarke is not a graduate, but is there any news on his situation, guys? Will he be going out on loan? I think that situation will probably come a lot clearer after tomorrow night's Europa League qualifier versus Pacos. If Jack plays in that, then he may stay around for the first half of the season to pick up game time in that competition prior to heading out on loan from January. He obviously did exactly the same last year. He played in our Europa League games in the early qualifiers and group stages and then joined Stoke City on loan. If he's not selected in the squad on Thursday, I imagine he will then head out on loan again for the forthcoming season. There's been reported interest heavily from Middlesbrough, Birmingham, Stoke City again, and also Queen's Park Rangers, who had Jack on loan previously. So I expect Jack Clarke will head out on loan again, but whether or not it will be from January or from the beginning of the season, a lot will tell from these Europa Conference League qualifiers. Guys, that's it for this week's Youth Roundup. Thanks again for listening. Please do retweet the pod when I put it out. Subscribe to the pod. Leave a review on iTunes. It really helps get the pod out to as many people as possible and means we can continue doing these throughout the season ahead. And let me know any youth-related questions you have, and I'll get them answered on next week's show. As always, guys, the future's bright. It's Lily White.